Okay, thank you all very much for coming. And today's daf is Daf Zayin in Masechet Erevin. Let's start again on Vav Amud Beis. First, starting with the issue, which is a general issue in all areas of halacha. It's always a good thing to be extra careful, extra strict. But can you be extra strict when those stringencies end up being inconsistent logically? That it's too harsh with the stringencies. So let's start in Vav Amud Beis. One, two, three lines, four lines before the end of the thin lines. Hahu Mavui Akum. There was a Mavui, an alleyway, which has courtyards opening to it, which itself, as Rashi points out, was in the shape of a ches. It had two openings to the public domain. Tahava b'Naharda. It was in the town of Naharda, which we know was the town of the great Amora Shmuel. So Ramu Alei Chumrei Derav, they put on this Mavoi, they put on the Mavoi both the stringency of Rav, v'chumre de Shmuel, as well as the stringency of Shmuel. And therefore, v'atzrichut lasos chumre de Rav. According to Rav, when you have a bent mavoi, this was yesterday, a mavoi in the shape of an L, so Rav says that if the mavoi bends, and it bends into a big space, so then that's considered a breached mavoi. And a breached mavoi, it's not enough to just have a lechi or a korah on one side. You need to do more on the other side. The other side might need a door frame. But in addition to that stringency, they also had chumrei de Shmuel. The stringency of Shmuel, Shmuel says when you have a fully breached mavoi, you need to have a door on one side. It's not enough to have a door frame, but Shmuel actually holds that a bent mavoi is not considered breached. So, atzrichut lasos. So then they require that it should have to have doors. So the Gemara now asks, chumrei derav da'amar toraso kimafulash. They had the stringency of Rav, who said that a breached bent mavoi is the same as a breached mavoi, as a mavoi which is straight from public domain to the next. And so both the chumra of Rav, the Amar Toraso Kimafulash, and the chumra of Shmuel. So ask the Gemara, V'amar Rav Alach Katana Kama, but doesn't Rav hold that when you have a mavoi which is straight from one public domain to another public domain, all you need is a door frame at one end. You don't need doors. So the answer to that was Kishmuel, because they're also following the stringency of Shmuel. Damar Alacha Kehananya, who says that Alacha is like Hananya, that when you have a mavoi that is fully, which is straight from one public domain to another public domain, on both sides of the public domain, the halacha is like Hananya, that you need to have a door, according to the Tanakama. I'm sorry, according to Beis Hillel, whereas according to Beis Shammai, you need to have two doors. Ivamar Shmuel, but now but Shmuel says, Torasso Kesasim. Shmuel says, when you have a bent mavoi, it's not even considered a mavoi open on both sides. It's not even considered open on that other side where it's bent. That's considered sealed. Oh, so the answer to that is Kirab, because we also found the stringency of Rab. Amo Tarasso Kimafulash, who says that a mavoi with a bend is considered a mavoi fully opened. I think we're having problems with the network again. Ellie, maybe you can show it to Paul what we can do here. Should be on, but it's just saying connecting. So that was the bottom line, right? Again, when you have a mavoi which is straight, which is open on this public domain, open on one side, open on the other side, public domains on each side. So we saw there was a brisa with an argument what you should do, whether you should put up two doors, one door, or a door frame. So that's one issue to be strict about. And then there's another issue, which is when you have a crooked mavoi, when you have a mavoi in an L, or in this case it was actually even more than an L, it was a U, does that have the status of a mavoi with a wall at its end, or does that have a status of a breached and open mavoi on both sides? So in Nahar Dah, they did both chumras. They had an alleyway, which was like a ches, and so even though it was bending, so normally according to Rav, if you have a bending alleyway, you don't need to do anything. It's bending. So here they did more. They added walls, even though according to Shmuel it's considered already with a wall at the end. They added doors, and it wasn't enough to add a door frame. They added doors. So now the Gemara asks a general question: is it fair to ever pile up on stringencies? Don't we have a rule that a person should be consistent? You know, you pick your Rebbe. If your Rebbe is Rav, you follow all of Rav, leniency and stringency. If your Rebbe is Shmuel, you follow Shmuel, leniency and stringency. You know, to start saying, I'm going to take the stringency of Rav and the stringency of Shmuel, I'm going to say it's a bent mavoi, but I'm still going to put up a door, and I'm going to say that I have to do a door, I can't do a door frame. That seems a little bit too much. It's not the right way. You know, choose your path and be consistent with your path. That's the Gemara's question here. We're on the second wide line on the bottom of Zbavim and Beis. Is that ever appropriate to start taking stringencies, take the stringency of Rav with the stringency of Shmuel? Vatana, didn't we learn in Braisa? Olam halacha k'beis Hillel. Halacha is like Beis Hillel. Now the commentators explain here, the reason why the example used here is Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is because that was really the first big argument. Before Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, there really were no arguments amongst the rabbis. Everybody agreed. It's only in the days of the students of Hillel and Shammai that there began to be tremendous amounts of arguments about halacha. And Beis Hillel were usually the lenient ones, and Beis Shammai were usually the stricter ones. So halacha is always like Beis Hillel. However, Harot Salas, because if Beis Shammai, if a person wants to be strict, he wants to follow the views of Beis Shammai, he can do so. On the other hand, if he wants to be lenient and follow the views of Beis Hillel, he can do that too. Now, Mikula Beis Shammai, Mikula Beis Hillel. Let's say he goes shopping. He says, I'm going to take the leniencies of Beis Shammai and the leniencies of Beis Hillel. That's already a Rasha. That's already a wicked person. But Michumer Beis Shammai and Michumer Beis Hillel, if he wants to do all the stringencies of Beis Hillel plus all the stringencies of Beis Shammai, he's a fool. Alava Kasav Omer, about him the verse says, Haksil Bachoshe Cholech. The fool walks in the darkness. Because that's not the system. The system is not to try to find every possible stringency. The system is to have a Rebbe and to follow your Rebbe. You can either follow Beis Shammai with their leniencies. Let's say they say that a small sukkah that only can fit a person's head and most of his body is kosher, even though it's only, let's say, four tefachim. And with their stringencies. You know, they have stringencies too. Many, many stringencies. Beis Shammai are strict. Or you can say Beis Hillel, okay, Kuleim, Vikachum Rasayim, with their leniencies and their stringencies. Okay, this is the Braisa. And the purpose of why we quoted the Braisa is for the latter point, which is that we have to be consistent. And that was the question, how could the people in Nahar Dah not be so consistent? Where the people of Nahar Dah were both following the stringency of Rav as well as the stringency of Shmuel. So the Gemara now says, but before we get to that question, let's go back to the beginning of the Braisa. In the beginning of this Braisa, there is a contradiction, because the Braisa says, halacha is like Beis Hillel. And then it says, if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can. Understand, if halacha is like Beis Hillel, it means you have to follow Beis Hillel. So Agufa Kasha, in the Braisa itself, you had a contradiction. Amartala olam halacha ke Beis Hillel. You began by saying, halacha is always like the view of Beis Hillel. Father Amartala, then you go back to say, harot halas is kadiv Beis Shammai osa. If you want to follow Beis Shammai, you could. If you want to follow Beis Hillel, you could. It's not an option. Yeah. You just said halacha's like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara answers Lokasha. In terms of the beginning of the Braisa, we're on the last line here, above him in Beis, Kan Kodem Baskal. Before, as we're going to see in a week, on Daf Yud Gimel, before Hashem announced through the Baskal that we should always follow Beis Hillel, you could follow either Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. Kan Yachar Baskal. Then Hashem announced through the voice from heaven that we should always be following Beis Hillel, halachas like Beis Hillel, as the Gemara is going to say, because they were more humble, they were more respectful. They used to quote Beis Shammai's views before their own views. So, la'achar baskol, then they added a new line to the Braisa, halachas like Beis Hillel. In other words, initially the Braisa said, if you want to follow Beis Hillel, you can. If you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can. Then there was the famous episode where the voice came out of heaven saying, follow Beis Hillel. So then they said, we have to change the text of the Braisa. So they left the latter part of the Braisa there, and they changed, they added, follow Beis Hillel. Okay, that's one answer.
Who heard that voice, Rabbi?
All the rabbis. All the rabbis heard the voice. Iba Yisema, another answer to the problem in the Braisa. The Braisa begins by saying, halachas like Beis Hillel, but then it says, if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can. Havalachar Baskel, it was after the voice came out of heaven. So really, halachas like Beis Hillel. Why would the Braisa then say that if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you could? It's the famous view of Rabbi Yoshua, he, the lo mishgach b'baskel. Rabbi Yoshua is of the opinion that even after you hear voices from heaven, you can still ignore them. That was the famous argument in the Masechet Bava Metzia. There was the oven, the Tanur Shel Achnai, the oven of the movable parts, and there was the question, is the oven tahor or not tahor when you take apart the movable parts? And Rabbi Lezer ben Horkinus felt one way, and Rabbi Yeshua felt a different way, and Rabbi Lezer ben Horkinus tried to prove that he was right. He said the carob tree is going to jump, and the walls of the Beis Medrash will prove I'm right, and the walls started to collapse, and finally he said, God will prove that I'm right, and a voice came out of heaven and said, Allah, look at Rabbi Lezer. And Rabbi Yeshua said, Lo b'shamayim, the Torah is not in heaven. So the two views of the Brice are the question of, are you on Rabbi Yeshua's side? You just ignore what the voices from heaven say. Then you could say you could follow Beis Shammai, or you say you do listen to voices from heaven, and then you wouldn't be able to follow Beis Shammai. Iba Yisem, or now a third answer, Hachi Ka'amar, this is what the Braisa means to say. Whenever you have other Tanoim who argue with each other, Ke'ein Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, similar to the argument of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in other words, you have Rabbi Yehuda being lenient and Rabbi Nachman being strict. So then the point is, loli ever kikuli demar v'kikuli demar. Don't pick both leniencies, because that's a wicked person. Lo kachumi demar v'lo kachumi demar. And do not pick both stringencies, because that's a foolish person. Ela o kikuli demar kachumi avid. Either follow one with his leniencies and his stringencies. O kikuli demar ukachumi avid. Or follow the leniencies and the stringencies of one point of view. Don't pick and choose. And that's really the point of the Braisa. You shouldn't be picking and choosing. But, you know, it's not really saying you could follow either Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. Really, in terms of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you have to follow Beis Hillel. But it's saying if there are other people arguing like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued, then you can follow one or the other. Yeah, question, Phil?
So when they say that it shouldn't be decided in the heavens, it should be decided
on earth.
So, but then the idea is that they were actually decided at Sinai, right? That the halakhas were codified.
After Sinai, no longer is it in the heavens.
After
right. So Phil is asking, why is there this resistance to prophecy or voices from heaven telling us the halacha? Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet who taught us, obviously, the law from heaven. But the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, says a pasuk. He says, don't think that it's too hard to keep Torah and mitzvos. Lo bashamayim hi leimor. Don't think it's in the heaven to say, who's going to go up to the heaven and get it for us? But rather, kikarov elecha adav ma'od. The Torah is very close. B'ticho luvavcha la'asoso. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. You can do it. So, if prophets could still determine halacha, it would be inaccurate to say lo bashamayim, it's not in heaven, because there's still later going to be prophecy from heaven. So at that point, at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, when he says lo bashamayim, it's not in the heaven, at that point he's saying whatever was supposed to come from the heaven is down, and now it's just in the hands of people. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua said. If a voice comes out of heaven and says halacha is like a belezer, I ignore that because the Torah is no longer in heaven. But for sure, earlier than that proclamation, before the 40th year of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, certainly halacha was coming from heaven. Yeah, so Sinai is from heaven, and revelations to Moshe at Ohel Moed were from heaven, and they were determining halacha.
Like,
Rabbi, the whole reason why we started talking about this is because of what they did in Haradiyah.
Correct.
Okay, so wasn't there something that it's because they were ignorant or of the people in
Haradiyah? Well, we saw that earlier, right? That Rav had to, but that wasn't in Haradiyah, it was another town where he had to get them to keep the laws.
Yeah, but wasn't it the same situation that they were doing two things and not...
Well, there he was being inconsistent. He was saying that a whole of four tzvachim, that was yesterday, right? A whole of four tzvachim is already reason to ruin the wall, even though he holds normally you need to have a whole of 10 amos to ruin a wall. But he said that there, they weren't careful with the laws, so he wanted to be strict with them. Right. Right there, it was...
So why wouldn't we normally...
That was another town, that was Damcharia.
So why wouldn't we go with the same thing over here to say, yeah, it's because of their ignorance that they had all these stringency to do that to the...
Yeah, but because the idea is, we're going to see in a second, you can't be stringent in a logically inconsistent way. You can say, okay, I really hold that this is allowed, but I'm going to tell you it's not allowed to try to get you to take things seriously. But it's not right for me to say do X and Y when that contradicts each other. So that's what we're going to see in a second. So now going back to the question. Okay, so we resolved the Braisa, right? The problem with the Braisa is, how could the Braisa say that if you want to follow Beis Shammai, you can? Don't we know normally you're not allowed to follow Beis Shammai? The answer is, okay, the Braisa doesn't mean it. The Braisa is saying, if there'd be an argument like Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, if you'd want to follow the stricter view, you could. But now let's go back to the question, right? The point of the Braisa is, you should not follow two views to have both stringencies. So how in the Haradiyah did they have two stringencies? So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kula k'Rav Abdua. Really, they're following just one view, the view of Rav. Amar Rav Huna Marav. Because Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, halacha, the halacha is that when you have a mavoi, which is open on both sides, and you have an alleyway open on both sides to streets, all you need is a door frame and on one side and a pillar on the other side. But even though that's the halacha, a morin king. That's not what we actually tell people, because that would be too light for people. What we actually tell people is, you need to put a door on one side, not just a door frame, and on the other side you can put your lechi and korah. So that's why over here, where they had a bent mavoi, which according to Rav is a mavoi that's open on both sides, that's why Rav told them, put up doors, and that's just a consistent view of Rav. According to Rav Adar Bar Ahava, in the name of Rav, Damar Halacha Umorin Kim, that Rav's view is that when you have a mavoi that is open on both sides, you can put up a door frame and tell people to put up door frames. So now, Ma'ikal Amema, why in the Haradiyah were they not just putting up a door frame, but they were putting up doors? So I'm Rav Shizbi answered, Ki lo abdin kachum de Beit Rei, when is it the law that we don't follow both stringencies, and if a person follows two stringencies, he's being a fool? Hech the Sasri Adadi, where the two stringencies are internally inconsistent. In other words, where the logic of one stringency rejects the logic of the other stringency. So what would that be? Kigon Shidjavugul Golas. Let's take the issue of how big a hole do you need in a skull for the skull to no longer look like a skull. So that has two ramifications. One ramification is in regards to Tumas Ohel. Tumas Ohel, the Tumah from a dead body spreading throughout a room or spreading under a common roof, is only there if the body part is noticeable as a body part. But if you, let's say you have a chip of a skull, a bone chip from a skull, there would be Tumah through touch, but not Tumah through Ohel. Now, there's another area of Halacha, and that is a Treifa, that if a hole is very big in a body part, let's say there's a big hole in the skull of the animal's a treifa, and even though you did a shechita on the animal, the shechita didn't work. Now those issues line up on the opposite side. That's how we went to the Mishnah. Hashid, when we deal with the question of a spine of a human being or of an animal, bagugolas, or the skull of a human being or an animal, shechasru, if they are missing so much that they're no longer noticeable as these body parts, then they don't create the tumah of being in. They don't create tumas ohel. They don't create a tumah of being in the same room as a living person. Now, kama chesron b'shedra, how much could be missing from a spine for it to be no longer considered a spine but just a bone? If it's missing two vertebrae, if it's missing a single vertebrae, it's now already just a bone. Now, bugulgolas, in terms of a skull, if there's a hole in the skull big enough, the hole that a drill bit would make, so that's the size of a cella. That's the size of a drill hole, a small hole. Enough out of the skull taken out that would cause the animal to die, that's the amount that would make it no longer a skull to create the impurity of being in the same room, and that's the cella. That these two opinions would also argue in regards to a trefa. So according to Beis Hillel, who say that missing one vertebrae already means that this spine is not a spine, it's just a bone. If the animal's missing one vertebrae in its spine, it would be a trefa. According to Beis Shammai, an animal has to be missing two vertebrae from its spine to be considered a bone. So therefore, if it's missing one vertebrae, it's not a trefa. So here, if you're going to say, well, in regards to a tumah, I'm going to follow the view of Beis Shammai. So the spine of a person that's in a room, that's missing one vertebrae, I'll say, well, it's still a spine. Still creates the tumah. I'll be strict. But in regards to trefa, I'll follow the stringency of Beis Hillel. And if it's missing one vertebrae, I'll already say it's a trefa and the animal's not kosher. That's where you can't take two stringencies, because your stringencies are internally contradictory. If you believe that one vertebrae makes it a bone, then there's no tumah anymore in the room from it. I mean, there's tumah if you touch it, but not tumah from the room. If you say that two vertebrae make it a bone, so then one vertebrae missing is not going to be a trefa. So that's where we said you're a fool if you take two stringencies when they internally contradict each other. But when the stringencies don't contradict each other, right? So according to Rav, if you have a bent mavoi, that's considered a breached mavoi. Okay, so that's one stringency. Now, a breached mavoi, according to Rav, all you need is a door frame. He didn't say you shouldn't have a door. A door is even better. A wall is even better, right? So to say, we're going to say like Rav that a bent mavoi is breached, and then we're going to say like Shmuel that a breached mavoi needs a door and not just a door frame. There's no contradiction there. So, hech lo satya adadi, where the logic doesn't contradict each other, avdinan, then we can take both stringencies. Yeah, question. You also got a question?
Just a random question too. So if you have a body that you recognize as a body, but the head is, you can't recognize the skull, there's tumah involved or not?
Yes, if most of the body is there would still be the tumas ohel, the tumah of the room. So now the Gemara asks, so hech the satya adadi lo avdinan, is that really true that when we have two stringencies that the logic is a lot, where we have a problem of logic to take these two stringencies? To take these two stringencies means we're contradicting each other. Is that true that we're not going to do that? But don't we know, Maisa B'Rabbi Akiva, a story of Rabbi Akiva himself, famous argument in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, first Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah, what is the turning point to change the year in terms of dating a fruit? In regards to the law of Orla, that you're not allowed to eat fruit for the first 3 years, and then in regards to which Meiser, which tithe you have to give for the fruit, whether it's Meiser Sheni, which is years 1 and 2, as we learned in last week's Parsha, or Maser Ani, which is what you give in year 3. So according to Beis Shammai, the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan is Echad B'Shvat, the first day of Shvat, and according to Beis Hillel, the Rosh Hashanah is Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat. So the Gemara asks, is it true that we don't take two stringencies that are internally contradictory? But Masav Rav Masharsha, Rav Masharsha challenged this principle from the story with Rabbi Akiva. Maisav Rabbi Akiva shalikate esrog. So Rabbi Akiva once picked an esrog, the echad b'shvat. It was the first day of Shvat. which if you'd say that the first day of Shvat is the beginning of the year, it was transitioning from year two into year three of the Shemitah cycle. So he said, but I'm not sure if Beis Hillel's right, that really this is year two produce, because maybe the 15th of Shvat is the beginning of the year. Maybe Beis Shammai's right, that maybe the turning point of the year is the first of Shvat, and this is already year three produce. And therefore, Nag Bo Shnei Yisur, and he gave two tithes, two 10%. One 10% he took to Yerushalayim as Meiser Sheni, because maybe Beis Hillel's right. And a second 10% he gave away to the poor, maybe Beis Shammai is right, and this is the year three, and you need to give Meiser Ani. So Echa Kedivir Beis Shammai, that it would be Meiser Ani, Echa Kedivir Beis Hillel. One second, it's either one or the other. It's a contradiction to say it's both year two and a year three, and that's internally, logically contradictory. You can't take two contradictions. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Akiva wasn't saying, I'm going to take two stringencies, even though they contradict each other. Istapik luhu, he wasn't sure what is the view of Beis Hillel. Below Yadai Beis Hillel b'chad b'shvad amur, b'chamisha b'shvad amur. He knows Halachas like Beis Hillel. He's just not sure if Beis Hillel are saying that the first of Shvat is the turning point or the 15th of Shvat is the turning point. Therefore, Avarach L'chumra, Avarach L'chumra. So therefore, he did both stringencies. He both gave 10% as Maaser Sheni and another 10% as Maaser Ani. Yeah, question, Gabriel. Maybe he'd wait later. Maybe he'd wait to pick the fruits till after the 15th of Shvat.
He's not sure whether it's the second year or the third year.
He doesn't know how to date this produce. Is this produce of the second year of year three? Right.
So he took second year and third year. But
correct.
Next year
he'll wait to pick it. He'll pick it after the 15th of Shvat, and then he'll be sure that it belongs to year four, and he'll only give Meister Shani.
He'll only give only one Meister from Ani Yerushalayim. Right to Yerushalayim. That's not the problem.
It could be. Right. He gave it. He can take Meister Shani and just give it to the poor people, not eat it himself in Yerushalayim.
Wait, when it comes to giving, it doesn't matter. There's no contradiction that way. There is no matter.
La'olam, you should always give. Always give some more. Naton titein lo, as we learned in last week's parsha. Keep giving. All right, so that was a general halachic discussion about being inconsistent in our halachos. And now we go back to the issues of a mavoi, of alleyways that open up into streets. So we are here in the picture book. We're now going to have a bunch of pictures, starting with picture 41. So Yasser Rav Yosef Kamed Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna. Yasser the Kamar, Rav Huna was quoting the following. Amar Rav Yehuda. Now it's important to know who Rav Yehuda was. Rav Yehuda was primarily a student of Rav. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of his teacher Rav. Machlok as the argument. When you have a straight alleyway, and on each side of the alleyway there's street. On each side of the alleyway there's street. So we had an argument whether you put up a door frame and a lechi or korah on the other side, or you have to put up a door and lechi and korah on the other side, or you have to put up two doors and actually lock the doors, the view of Beis Shammai. That argument is bisratya. That argument is when you have an intercity highway, Mikan on one side of the alleyway, Usratya Mikan and another intercity highway on the other side, or Platya, or a big marketplace, Mikan on one side of the alleyway, Platya and a big marketplace, Mikan on the other side of the alleyway. Aval, however, Sratya Mikan, if you have a big intercity highway on one side of the alleyway, Ubika Mikan, but the other side of the alleyway does not even open up to a public domain, it opens up to a carmelis. It opens up to fields. Now, fields are surrounded by tall mountains, and nobody lives in the fields. In a certain way, biblically, the fields are all private domains. They have mountains all around them, but nobody lives there. So rabbinically, it's not treated as a private domain. So then, only rabbinically are you not allowed to carry in the fields. Obikamikan, obikamikan. Or even if you'd have fields on this side and fields on that side, then you don't have to make doors. Osatur sapesach mikan. You only make a doorway on one side. Lechi v'koramikan. And you make a pillar and a crossbeam on the other side of the alleyway. So the Gemara says, one second, right? If you said on one side a carmelis, then everybody would agree all you need is a door frame and a pillar. So certainly on both sides a carmelis, everybody would agree. So hashta sracha mikan abikya mikan. Once you say that if there's on one side an intercity highway, but on the other side a bunch of fields. A valley of fields. Osalot to resa pesach mikan. All you have to do is make a door frame on one side. The lechi the kor mikan and a pillar or a crossbeam on the other side. Bikamikan. If you have a set of fields on one side and a set of fields on the other side, where it's caramelous on each side, so you buy, of course, all you need to do is a door frame. So you're right. This is what it meant. This is what he meant. What Rav Yehuda Marav meant was, Srachimikan, Bikamikan, if on one side you have a public domain, you have an intercity highway, and on the other side of the alleyway, you have a bunch of fields in a valley. So Nasaka Bikamikan, that is treated like having a valley on one side and a valley on the other. It's treated as if you have a caramelous on both sides. And therefore, all you need is a door frame and a pillar. Okay, so that's understandable. Then, Umesayim Be'mishmeid Rav Yehuda. Then Rav Yosef, who was quoting this lesson in front of Rav Yehuda Marav, he's quoting the lesson to Rav Huna in the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav. And now he said, now Rav Yehuda himself says, not clear who he got this from, Im Hayya Mavui Kalui L'Rechava. If you have an alleyway, on one side there is a street, an intercity highway, but the other side of that alley, two sides of the alleyway have walls, when they have courtyards, you know, feet, they have courtyard walls, two sides of the alleyway. On the fourth side, it doesn't go to a Carmelis, it doesn't go to a market, which is a public domain. On the fourth side, Kalal Rechava, it actually opens up to the backyard of courtyards. Now, the backyard of a courtyard is also considered a private domain, but they don't really have people living there. And it must be that this case is that the backyard of the courtyard, even though it really has four walls, its wall, which is parallel to the opening of the Mavoi, is actually open. It's open. So really, if you look at this situation, you would think that this is an alleyway open on both sides. You could see from one side to the other, you can see streets. But really, it's an alleyway, and then the alleyway ends up in a private backyard, and the private backyard is open. So then, Ein Tzarech Klum. You don't need to do anything on that private backyard, because that's considered a private domain. So look at picture 41, right? So the alleyway is the area that has the pavers. And so the alleyway has two walls, that's the two courtyards. Then on one side of the alleyway, the opening of the alleyway, there's the big intercity highway. You put a lechi there. But the alleyway then ends in a backyard. So the backyard itself is actually a private domain. The backyard has four walls around it. The backyard is much wider than the alleyway. You know, that private domain is much wider than the alleyway. But it happens to be that that backyard also has an opening. So in theory, if you just stand there and look, it would look like it's open on both sides. But really, it's not really open on both sides. It's really that the alleyway is ending not in a karmelis, it's ending in a private domain. So since it ends in a private domain, all you need is one lechi at the front where it opens to the public domain. So Amalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Had Rav Yehuda, this idea that you're saying the name of Rav Yehuda is not from Rav, but rather to Shmuel. That's something he learned from Shmuel. Now starting Zayin Amud Beis. To either Rav, because if you're going to say that law is also from Rav, then Kasha Derava Derav Betarti. Rav would be contradicting himself with two problems. Two problems. What are the two problems? So I'm Rav Yirmi Bar Abba Marav. Rav Yirmi Bar Abba says the name of Rav. Mafui Shenifrats Bimeluo Lachatzer. Vinifritza Chatzer Kenegdo. Rav Yirmi Bar Abba says that if you have a courtyard, you have an alleyway, a Mavui, where the third side opens up, and it opens up into a chatzer. This is picture 42. The fourth side, which had been closed, opens up, and it opens up into a chatzer. Now that chatzer also, its wall opens up, and Rav says, in such a case, chatzer muteres, you're still allowed to carry in the chatzer. Umavui aser, but you're not allowed to carry in the mavui. You're not allowed to carry in the mavui. So the idea is that there are two reasons why you can't carry in the mavui. The hole was less than 10 amos, but there are two reasons here why he's saying you can't carry in the mavui. Number one, because when you stand in the mavui, there's an opening on one side, and there's an opening on the other side. Right? If you look at picture 42, if you stand in the paved area, it actually looks like it's open on both ends. So that is the status of a mavui mefulash. But in addition, because the mavui is opening up into a chatzer, and people live in the chatzer, and they use the chatzer, so now you have the problem of diurin, that if people are living in a certain area, the only way you'd be able to carry in that area is if you did a shituf, if you combined everybody with either a shituf mavuos or an eruv chatzeros. So here, the diurin, the residences, and the usage of the chatzer create a prohibition to the people of the mavui. So now, if you're going to say that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that when a mavui opens up to a rechava, to a backyard, it's permitted, amai, why did he prohibit a mavui that opens to a chatzer? Lavi kemavui shekalu l'rechava. It should be the same as a mavui that opens up to a backyard. So Amar Leh, so Rav Yosef said, no, Ana lo yadana, I don't actually know who Rav Yehuda learned this from, about a mavi that opens to a backyard. But uvda hava bedura deravasa, there was a story in a town of shepherds. Umavi shekala ruchava hava. They had an alleyway that opened up to a backyard. V'asa l'kamed Rav Yehuda, came in front of Rav Yehuda, v'latzchev lo midi, and he didn't require them to do anything. He didn't say that they have to make a door frame. That was it. It was enough. Now, v'kash mishmei de Rav. Now, if you're going to tell me it's difficult to say that it's from Rav, tell me mishmei de Shmuel. So maybe you learned it from Shmuel. But the truth really is, below kash amidi. The truth is really, there is no contradiction between a mavui that opens up to a courtyard and a mavui that opens up to a backyard. Why? Hashad amar le'Rav Sheshet le'Rav Shmuel bar Abba. Now the Rav Sheshet said to Rav Shmuel bar Abba. For Amulan, some say Rav Sheshet said to Rav Yosef bar Abba. Azbralach, I'll explain to you the idea of why a mavui that opens up to a courtyard is problematic. The issue is kanshi irvu, that if you don't need eruv chatzeros, it would be okay. Kan shelo irvu. The issue with the chatzer is that the chatzer is a place that people live in. It's really an extension of their homes. And now when you have a mavui opening up into the chatzer, now you have a problem that the mavui is spilling out into a place where people are living. Now if they didn't do an eruv with the people of the mavui, you're not allowed to carry in the mavui. But when you have the mavui opening up into rechava, the rechava is the backyard. People don't really live in their backyards. So since they don't live in their backyards, you don't need to do an eruv between the people of the rechava with the people of the mavui. The rav nami lo kasha. That's why there's no contradiction in Rav. When Rav Yehuda said that the mavui going into the rechava is allowed, it's because since there's no need for an eruv, because the rechava is not really used, it's not their diurn, it's not where they live, that's why it doesn't prohibit the mavui. But Khan, or Rav said that the mavui going into a chatzer, you can't carry in the mavui anymore, the shelo irvu, they didn't do an eruv chatzeros with the people of the chatzer, but in terms of mavui mafulash, in terms of it being open from side to side, it's not considered open from side to side. Okay, Bezus Hashem, we're going to begin again tomorrow with more discussions of this issue on Zion Midbeis.